Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Cerutori, the head coach of the Beavers. Tom, the game last night had a little bit of everything. They score first, you respond. You've got 36 shots after two periods of play. You control play for a long stretch. You give up some penalties there in the third period. It's got to be a mentally exhausting night. How do you go, you and the staff and the players, handle a game like that?
Well, I think when it's done, you know, there's a relief. There's a sense of relief when you're done because, you know, you played well and, you know, you were kind of under the gun. And, you know, our back was against the wall with those penalties, especially that 5-on-3, you know, a minute and change into the period. But I think when it's all done and you won the game, you look back and say, hey, you like how you won the game. You showed a little resolve. Yeah, you know, you battle adversity. So, you know, it was good. It was good the way we got it done. But I also, you know, I told the guys, hey, too, you can't put your penalty kill in those positions either. And eventually, you guys said it last night, you only can go to the well so many times. I think Biss said that. And I thought that was an accurate statement.
You've killed off a couple of 5-on-3s now in the last month or so. What do you guys do best killing a 5-on-3?
Well, last night I thought there was a couple things that we did well. Number one is that we won faceoffs, and once we won the faceoffs, we had clears. We did a pretty good job up ice, and I thought Tommy Muck was a critical part of the 5-on-3. They wanted to start rolling. Tommy cut off the roll. And once Tommy cut off the roll, that disrupted their structure, and we fed off that, and then eventually we got a clear. So, and that was just instinctual. Then there was another play too where the puck got rimmed around the boards. Tyler Vold stayed on it. He was very aggressive. He was very aggressive on the boards right there, and we cleared the puck. And there's so many of those situations. There's so many of those situations where, you know, when it's a 5-on-3 penalty kill, you're actually really passive, and you let those plays go. And I just thought that showed the confidence in our penalty killers.
Yesterday, I'd said that Tyler Vold was, you know, he was a little unnoticed in a good way. Scores on a big shot again last night. Keep scoring like that, teams are going to notice, and that's kind of the game within the game, isn't it? Of, you know, he has that shot last night. In a situation tonight, they may have to bring somebody up and try to deny that. That opens up somebody else. He's got to then make a play. How many of those night two adjustments are there?
Well, we'll find out. Well, you know, it's a chess match, and we'll find out tonight what they want to do, and something's going to happen. And you're right. Are they going to be a little more aggressive up top? I mean, you know, are they going to be a little more aggressive on the flank? Maybe that's going to deny that pass up top. So we'll find out. But at the end of the day, there's four of them and five of us, and we just got to make plays.
Talked in the postgame last night about your efficient forecheck last night and also your low cycle. How do those two kind of work hand in hand?
Well, first off, it's puck management. By keeping the puck low, and if we know we're going to keep the puck low, that allows us to probably be one step ahead of them as far as getting to pucks and knowing where the puck's going to go. It also, you know, it allows us space. You know, we're creating space for ourselves. We're creating space on both sides. So that frees us up a little bit. So it just puts us in command once we have possession of the puck, I think, Schultze. And then what we're doing is we're making them work. We're making them defend. And if they do gain possession, they're either chipping it out and they're line changing. So it's so important. That's just called puck possession. If you can play a puck possession game, you know, the opposing team's going to spend more time defending, and you're going to spend more time attacking.
How often do you change your forecheck based on your opponent's breakout and how well or poorly their D can handle the puck?
Not much. We don't change our forecheck much. What we'll do is maybe our third forechecker, we'll have him go down the wall. We'll have him go down the dot lane. We'll have him go down the post. We'll vary that a little bit. And just sometimes our guys have better legs than other nights. But we pretty much stick to a 1-2-2. We don't change. We don't deviate. And it just works for us, and I just think the best thing is just do what you do well, because, you know, a 1-2-2 can go into a two-man forecheck awful fast, and we call it a second quick guy. And once we create a loose puck with our first forechecker, our second forechecker is supposed to get active. He's supposed to be very quick on the point of attack right there. So we just call that our second quick guy's got to be there.
More with Coach Cerutori when we return. Our pregame show continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Cerutori. I had a chance to visit with Charlie Combs just a moment ago and asked him about his goal last night and how he was approaching that two-on-one that he had. And he made it very clear that it was brought up in a pre-game scout that, you know, how they handle those kind of situations. He was very familiar with it. He was comfortable with it. He knew what was going to happen. What sorts of things do you guys cover in a pre-week scout?
Well, Red Brow, our genius volunteer assistant coach right there, and our goalie coach right there, he said, you know what, upstairs, short side. And so that was on the scout. Conversely, what we've been talking about are two-on-ones. We feel we've been, quite honestly, we've been too unselfish. We're passing the puck way too much. We're not shooting enough. And it's a situation, if their defenseman's taking that, if he's denying the backside, it's just the goalie and the shooter, and you got to get a shot off. And if not, we can get a pad pass. But Charlie was shooting that puck. As soon as he gained possession 10 feet inside the blue line, I knew exactly what was going on. Because if he was going to move the puck, he was going to move it early. And once he started, trucking down ice, you knew it was going to be a shot. And Charlie can shoot from there. He can find a spot, and he did.
Still very early, but Alaska's been in the top 20 in the pairwise all year. Can you just explain to all of us? There have been several tweaks over the years of the pairwise and how it works, but just what a winning record against a team, in the top 20 of the pairwise, how that benefits you down the road.
Well, winning helps. It's just flat out, you got to win. And then obviously, I think it's common sense. If you win over the higher seeds, it even helps you that much more. Then if you win against the higher seeds on the road, it even helps that much more because you get more percentage points for road wins. So it's a complicated process. I don't even understand it that well. The only thing I know is win and keep winning, and you can't have bad losses. And once you have a bad loss, and we all know what a bad loss is, and you have a bad loss, it can really hurt you.
Pre-Christmas has always kind of been considered that, first half of the season. If you finish the first half here 9-2-1, that's a very good record. What would that mean for these next 2 weeks when you're off to go in on a high note?
Well, I just think, again, it makes for a pretty darn good break. What you're doing for the next couple of weeks is you're trying to heal up, and then you're reflecting back on your first half and saying, hey, we put ourselves in good position. Now, what do we need to do?